We give God thanks for baptism. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Just as God's work of creation never ends, so the gifts received in baptism are renewed every day. Let us give thanks together for the life given in baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for the waters of life, for water to bathe in, water to drink, for waters to play in, and waters that inspire wonder, for water that gives life to our planet. We give you thanks, O God, for the waters of life. We give you thanks, O God, for the waters of this place, for water from the tap, for rain and snow, for the Winnebago River and for aquifers that provide drinking water. We give you thanks, O God, for the waters of this place. We give you thanks for your salvation through water, for delivering Noah and his family through the flood waters, for leading your people Israel through the sea into freedom, for preserving your prophet Elijah through the time of drought, for guiding your people across the Jordan into a new land, for quenching the Samaritan woman's thirst with living water. We give you thanks for your salvation through water. We give you thanks for the life of all the baptized, for all who gather here, for godparents and baptismal sponsors, for children and grandparents, for all our brothers and sisters in Christ, whom we have never seen, but to whom we are bound. We give you thanks for the life of all the baptized. We give you thanks for the life in Christ through your Holy Spirit, for our entry into Jesus' death through these waters, for our new birth into the life of freedom and service, for our calling to be your people, sent out for the life of the world. We give you thanks, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, with joy we celebrate the day of our Lord's resurrection. He lives. By the grace of Christ among us, enable us to show the power of the resurrection in all that we say and do. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. This morning's first reading is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 4, a reading from Acts. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what they had sold, and they laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Word of God, word of life. The second reading this morning is from 1 John, the beginning of 1 John. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Here ends the reading. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to Thomas, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Hey, good morning. How is everybody? How is everybody? How are you all doing today? All right, they're doing good. How are you guys? Good. You're good? You guys good? All right. So Ben just sang a little song about a story about an empty tomb. You know, sometimes when we see something like that, we need to look twice, don't we? We see something and we're like, can you do that? It's like, your eyes get really big. There you go. Yeah, like that. You guys do that? No, okay. Well, I have a picture this morning that I want you to look at. It's kind of an interesting picture. Take one. I've got several copies here. Pass one of those down to those guys so they can see it too. All right. So, what would you do, I'm going to walk out here and show it to these guys, but what would you do if you were walking in the woods and you saw that? So it's a picture of a tree, and I don't know if you can see that. I wanted to get it on the screen, but Pastor Zach's out at Titanica this morning, and he's our tech guy right now, but see the tree? What would you do if you were walking in the woods and you saw that guy? Come on, show me. What would you do? Wouldn't your eyes get really big and you'd wonder, what in the world? is going on in this forest. Is that tree alive or what? Can you guys see that? Isn't that kind of a funny picture? Can you see that? Yeah, it looks like he's talking, doesn't it? You ever seen a talking tree before? Look, he's got some grass hanging out of his mouth. Looks like maybe he had a little breakfast already this morning. And then you're wondering, am I his next meal? So let me see your face if you saw this tree in the woods. There you go, Jacob's got it. It'd be like, what in the world? You gotta look twice, don't you? Doesn't it look like something's hanging out of his mouth, like he's been chewing grass? Yeah, that's a funny tree. Well, again, sometimes we have to look at things twice, and that's where we're at this morning. Thomas and the disciples have an experience, but the first time Thomas isn't there, is he? And so the disciples see Jesus. They see him with their own eyes, and I'm sure they had to look twice at Jesus just to make sure it was him. They looked at the nail prints in his hand, and they looked at his side. And when they saw that, we're told that they rejoiced. They rejoiced because Jesus was alive. But when Thomas came, and the disciples told him, we've seen Jesus, he said, unless I see and put my fingers in his side, he says, I won't believe. Thomas needed to see, didn't he? He needed that second look. Just hearing about it wasn't enough. And later on, we're told, like a week later, they were together again and Jesus showed up, didn't he? Jesus gave Thomas what he needed. He gave him that second look so that Thomas could see and believe. And then Jesus said something very interesting. He said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. To believe that Jesus is alive. And so Jesus knows. He knows that sometimes it's hard for us to believe in the resurrection. To believe that something that good could really be true. And so Jesus is patient with us. And he keeps showing up for us. And I pray that each of you will someday see Jesus, and that we'll see him in the written word, that you'll see him as a baby is baptized in the water and the word of God, that you'll see him in the gift of Holy Communion, that you'll see him in the gathering of God's people, the people who have that peace, even in the midst of life's storms and chaos. So I just love that picture because it reminds me that sometimes we have to take a second look at things. And so when you do have trouble believing in the resurrection, don't be afraid to take a look at it again. And ask Jesus for what you need. Because sometime Jesus will give you that so that you too can come to believe and have life in his name. That's what he wants for you, is to have life in his name. That means to be in a relationship with him where you are confident and trusting in him to care for you and take care of all of your needs. Shall we pray? I invite you to repeat after me. Jesus, we love you. And we thank you for your life. For those who struggle to believe this good news, come again. Show yourself. Help us to believe and to have life in you. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So this is track and field season after all, and yet as we come to the text today, we find the disciples locked inside or locked behind closed doors. They are not going to get very far on the road of faith, on that road where faith is found, if they stay locked behind closed doors. But the reality is, even in a race, not all the participants finish at the same time. If they did, it would be kind of a boring race, wouldn't it? Be like, oh, they got started, and around the track they go. Oh, hey, they all finished at the same time. Great, huh? Be kind of a boring track meet, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I think the same is true in faith, that in faith not everyone arrives at the same moment, at the same pace. And I believe that is the point of this story from John's Gospel today, this story about Thomas, and it's the point of the text that we have in front of us, that not everyone comes to faith or arrives at faith at the same time and in the same pace, at the same pace. In a brilliant commentary by Pastor Mary Hinkle Shore, the pastor of Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Brevard, North Carolina, Pastor Shore points out a pattern in John's Gospel of people who hear about Jesus yet need more. In chapter 1, we hear the story of Nathanael. Philip comes to Nathanael and says, "We have found, Nathanael, we found the one of whom Moses and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth." And Nathanael responds, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" rather sarcastically. And Philip says, "Come and see." And so Nathanael does. He follows Philip to Jesus. And before long, in just a few verses, Nathanael makes this confession, "Rabbi, truly you are the Son of God." Nathanael receives what he needs to believe. In chapter 4, we read about a Samaritan woman who meets Jesus at a well, the well of her ancestors. When she meets Jesus, she comes to believe that he is the Messiah, or at least she begins to wonder. And so she goes back to her village and she says to the people, "Come and see a man who has told me everything that I did. He can't be Messiah, can he?" So the townspeople come and they meet Jesus, and Jesus teaches them. He encounters them and reveals himself to them. And before long, the people of that town say to the woman, "No longer do we believe because of your words, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know this one truly is the Savior of the world." Fast forward to the resurrection morning. Mary tells the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." There's no indication at this moment whether they believe or not. The story simply continues to unfold, and we find the disciples locked away behind closed doors in the evening of that first day. Behind closed doors because they are in fear for their own lives. "Peace be with you," Jesus says. He shows them his hands and his side, and the disciples rejoice to see him. They believe. They finally believe that he is alive. It's then they say to Thomas, who was not with them, what Mary said to them, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas, too, needs more. "Unless I see," he says, "the nail prints in his hands and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." Not everyone arrives at faith at the same time and at the same pace. John's Gospel, we're told, was written. Verse 30 tells us why it was written. "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which were not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name." The desire of God's heart is for you and I to believe in, to trust in Jesus Christ, to know him as our Lord and Savior, and to follow him. To know that he is the source of life, that he is the source of all life and all goodness. To trust him in every step that we take. But we too sometimes struggle. We too do not arrive at faith at the same time or at the same pace. There are those in our midst who struggle for faith, who struggle to believe that something so good could be true. And for those of us would-be believers who struggle towards faith, who struggle to believe, who need more, Thomas's story, his unwillingness to be shamed into believing or keeping quiet about his unbelief, becomes an especially important story. Thomas needs more. He needs what Mary and the other disciples received. He needs an encounter with the living Lord Jesus Christ. He needs to see him, to touch him, to hear his voice. And we receive a confession from Thomas's lips that is equal to none other, my Lord and my God. We'll return to Thomas as an example of one who receives from Jesus what he needs, but to get there, we need to go through verse 23 of this text. After showing himself to the disciples, Jesus breathes on them the Holy Spirit and says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. In her commentary, Mary Hinkle Shore quotes a woman by the name of Sandra Schneiders, who in 2010 gave her presidential address to the Catholic Biblical Association, a talk that was later titled and published under the title, The Lamb of God, Forgiveness of Sins in the Fourth Gospel. Shore quotes Sandra Schneider in her work in reconsidering this text that we have in front of us, or this verse, verse 23. Traditionally, the verse says, she says, translators have assumed or understood a second occurrence of the Greek words tas hamartias, or the sins, in this verse. But it's not there in the original language, Schneider says. A better translation of this verse would be, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven to them. Whomever you retain, they are retained. Or whomever you hold fast, they are held fast. In other words, it's in the first half of the verse, it is the sins that are forgiven to the sinner. But in the second half of the verse, Schneider's proposes that it is the person, not sins, that are retained. If you retain any, they are retained. In other words, Schneider's is proposing that it's Thomas who needs to be retained. Thomas needs to be held onto in his time of doubt, in his time of struggle. It is Thomas who needs to be held fast to while he struggles to believe and trust in Jesus as his Lord and his God. Again, in the first part of the verse, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. That is tremendously good news, because the forgiveness of sin restores the sinner into relationship with the living God who has named them and claimed them as his own. But until one can trust that, there's a gulf, there's a chasm between the forgiven and the forgiver and those who need forgiveness. And Schneider's is saying that the second half of this verse is good news even for those who struggle for faith, even those who struggle to hold on to hope that God is with them, that Jesus is alive and that their future is secure. Schneider's goes on to say that theologically and practically, In the context of John's gospel, it's hardly convincible that Jesus, sent to take away the sin of the world, commissioned his disciples to perpetuate sin by the refusal of forgiveness. Or that the retention of sins in some people could reflect the universal reconciliation effected by Jesus. And I believe that she's right. If Schneider's translation and interpretation are accurate, then the exchange between Jesus and Thomas is an example or a focal instance of what Jesus said a week earlier. If you hold fast or retain to someone, they are retained, they are held fast. The disciples held fast to Thomas. During that week, they held on to him. They didn't let him go. They didn't throw him out of their society. It doesn't appear that they ridiculed or harassed him, but they, instead they were patient with them. With him. And when they returned again, Thomas was with them. And Jesus then appears to Thomas, holding him through his doubt to faith. That, my friends, is grace. That is pure and simple grace. A God who will hold us, even in doubt, even in struggle to believe that God is in control of our lives. Just as Nathanael and the woman at the well and her community, the man born blind and his community that we meet in John's gospel, Mary Magdalene and the disciples who were locked behind closed doors on this day of resurrection are held fast through doubt and partial understanding until they receive what they need to believe. So also will those who have not seen be held fast. Jesus knows that it is a struggle sometimes to believe in a God whom we cannot see. And so he waits. He is patient. And during that time, he continues to show up. He continues to show up in our lives to give us hope, to give us promise, to give us food and nourishment for the journey. Do you believe because you have seen, Jesus says to Thomas? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Dear friends, does life have you locked away in fear behind closed doors? Are you having trouble believing in the resurrection, in the resurrected one? Are you having trouble believing that the empty tomb is perhaps too good to be true, and that it is a power that has the ability to set you free? As we experience the story of Thomas, we are invited to trust that Jesus will retain us, that he will keep showing up alive and with a body that holds together the worst that has happened to him and the risen life. He is eager to reveal himself not only through appearances, but through his written word, through the bread and the wine, through the water and the word, and through the loving deeds of those who follow him and who are sent as he was sent. Again and again, he will offer that wounded living body to you and to his children, until finally the whole creation will be held fast in the peace that he alone offers when he makes himself known. And so we stand again at the empty tomb, waiting to see Jesus, waiting to trust his life for our life, waiting for him to pick us up and send us forward. In the words of Isaiah chapter 40, verses 30 and following, we hear the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Dear friends, he does not grow weary of you. He does not grow impatient with you, but he waits with you, holding on to you until you learn that you, having heard the gospel proclaimed, let us with the whole church confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Rejoicing in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we pray for the witness of the church, the wholeness of creation, and all who are in need. Holy God, you speak peace in the presence of fear. Give us courage to testify to your grace with our lives. Embolden prophets, preachers, and teachers to speak the truth. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Holy God, you bring peace to a hurting world. Give rest to the weary and hope to the disillusioned. And restore the sick. And now read with me from the bulletin those of our own who are suffering. Rolf, Michaela, Mike, Karen, Anne, my own, family of Joan, Tim, Rhonda, Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Mogollanes, missionaries Colin, Jenny, Josie, and Amos. Holy God, you breathe your spirit into us. Enlivened by the Spirit, and equip us now to bring new life to all we meet in our work and in our play. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God, you sent your Son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy our pardon, and an empty grave is there to prove our Savior lives. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because we know he holds the future and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he brings. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face on certain days because he knows he lives. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because we know he holds the future and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day we'll cross the river and fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, we'll see the lights of glory and we'll know he lives. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because we know he holds the future and life is worth the living just because he lives. Holy God, you are our peace in this world and the next. Comfort all who mourn. Hold them in your tender care. Gather us all around the table as we share the heavenly banquet. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We entrust all our prayers to you, gracious God. Receive them by the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, we pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. For the benediction, okay? Keep shaking them. God, who has brought us from death to life, fill you with great joy. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.
Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
You are the body of Christ raised up in the world. Go in peace and share the good news.
Thanks be to God.
Go in peace. The Spirit sends us forth to serve.
Thanks be to God.